Series, we've been learning about some of the false narratives, the lies about ourselves, and that we find ourselves believing and behaving from. We're discovering that beautiful rhythm of life that Jesus can teach us. And we're just looking to deconstruct all those false narratives that set limits on us. And I just don't think it was a coincidence that we were singing Let the Walls Come Down, because I just feel really in my heart God wants to bring the walls down in some of you, you know, and he just wants to free you. We often have many false narratives around our faith. We often think of faith as being a positive confession. If I believe it enough, that good thing will happen, or that bad thing won't happen. We tell ourselves that the outcomes of my faith are dependent on our behaviour. So if I'm good, then my faith will be rewarded. But if I have any doubt or I mess up, get something wrong, then maybe God won't listen to me. We tell ourselves that we'll be rewarded for self-sacrifice, or we tell ourselves that we'll be rewarded for the effort that we've made. But when we feel unable to control others, and we feel unable to control the circumstances and the outcomes, we're suddenly just struck by these fears. And these fears are formed by previous experiences and narratives. And we use these well-trodden and familiar thinking patterns to kind of inform us about what to do next and how we should respond. And we wrongly identify them as our faith. All these narratives have one assumption. They assume that I'm the author of my faith, and I'm the one who determines the outcomes and course of my life. But real faith is determined by Jesus, and it's authored and perfected by him. He has a real good plan for our lives. And when we come into a full understanding of this, that's when we're free to run, knowing that he has everything that concerns us. We begin to see that all the joys, the pains, the longings, everything that we come across in our lives is actually all part of God's plan. And it's part of our race. It's the race we're running. And our faith in Jesus carries us onwards. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3 says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." I'm just wondering how many of you have described your life as a carousel. There you go, have a carousel, that thing that where the horses go up and down and up and down and round and round. And one minute we're up, everything's going well, the next we're down, struggling to deal with the latest challenge that life has just thrown at us. And round and round and round it goes. And we don't really feel like we're going anywhere fast. And life seems to repeat these kind of familiar cycles. We seem to come round to the same thing again. Endless cycles of our everyday lives that peak and plummet alongside all the usual routines of family, activity, eating and sleeping. And in the midst of all that, having lost heart and weary, we wonder when we will be able to step off and out into the free terrain of real living. I know I've lived much of my life like that. I recognise that rhythm of self-sufficiency, fear. In the West, we're so blessed to be able to achieve many things for ourselves. We can work hard, get qualifications, training jobs, buy food, find homes, build families, we get medical treatment, we gather possessions, clothe ourselves, take time out for friendship and hobbies and much more. These are our peaks, aren't they? They're the places where we feel content and joyful. And we build these kingdoms for ourselves, and much of our identity is placed in these things. After all, we're entitled, aren't we? We happily accept that we should live our lives like those in our culture. I perform well, I get rewarded. We can become very proud with all that we've achieved, and we try to protect our lot. But we should be mindful to heed Romans' warning in chapter 12, verse 3. "For by the grace given me, I say to each every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." If we begin to place our trust in our own ability to control our lives and to have influence over others, we've stepped out of faith and we've displaced God and established ourselves as the rulers of our lives. And that false narrative says, I'm a good person and working hard, therefore life will go well for me and my family. But what happens when we can no longer control the outcomes? Those fearful places we just tend to grab out to the only thing we have left to steady us. This pole on this wooden horse that will take us round again. But really, is that what our faith is? Is that what just something we grab hold of in a panic? I believe that Jesus spoke to us about faith being more than that, and it's actually something to free us and to help us to run more easily. I've got a little story of I was 17 on a mission trip in Bulgaria, and we were doing performances on the street. We were seeing 50 to 200 people give their lives to Jesus every day. And I suspect in that place, we were all feeling a little bit proud of ourselves, thinking, yeah, we're doing the God stuff, you know, it's all good. One evening, myself and two other young people decided we were going to take a walk through the streets and just have a little wander. It was a nice night. She was 16, the lad, Alex, was 18, and I was 17. We came across a road with a barrier across it. And, you know, you're just young, you just look at it and you just think, oh, it'll be all right, we'll just go under. And we'll go across. It looked like a nice park was behind it. We could see the stars, beautiful night. We'll just carry on. But we hadn't gone too far when we suddenly stopped dead in our tracks. In front of us was a Bulgarian soldier pointing a rifle at us. And he started to yell at us. And not understanding him, he was barging us around with this rifle and making us walk in a certain direction. This building came into view, and then we saw about 30 soldiers in this room, and they were reeling drunk, absolutely steaming, and we drinking more as we were approaching. We were pushed into this room with all eyes on us, and in that place, some of the guys started to behave quite weirdly, and they started to sort of touch mine and Peen's hair, you know, sort of fiddle with our clothing, and it was obviously that they had not great intentions. And in that place, the three of us responded very differently in faith. Peen, frozen, immobile, mute. Myself, just babbling in tongues in a state of terror, thinking, what on earth, what's going to happen to us here? And then Alex, he was just amazing. He just stepped forward. He put a hand on one of the guy's chest, insisted he step back from us. And he said, don't touch these girls. And then proceeded to try and appeal to who was obviously the senior officer and kind of reason with him about why we were there. I was just totally amazed when this officer just finally just burst out laughing and just shouted go, and Peen was off like the clappers, suddenly like just running for it. I was soon after Alex followed us. When we eventually stopped, I said to Alex, weren't you afraid? You were so calm. And he said to me, you know, Liz, I didn't know whether we were going to die tonight or not. He said, but I knew one thing, I would die doing what Jesus wanted me to do. You see, do we have that faith that says whatever befalls us, we will trust God in the outcomes? Or in that place, when something goes wrong, do we start these false narratives? What did I do wrong? Why am I being punished? It's not fair. How do we really respond when someone gets a life-threatening illness, loses their job, or our money dries up, or our children mess up, our marriage or friendship takes a hit and our relationships are severed? Or the gifting that's always made a way for us is no longer there. Or somebody more qualified or better than us comes on the scene and takes our place. And all the time we're facing these situations, we're coming into contact with other people going through the same things. In those places, it's often fear that stalks us. It's the thing that starts triggering the patterns. And we cry out to God and ask him to intervene. And sometimes we even can feel let down by him. How could he allow this to happen to us? But the truth is that even just drawing breath today is because of his grace on us and his mercy that continues in our lives to give us life and let us continue living. Romans 11, 35 and 36 says, "Who has ever given to God that he should repay him? From him and through him and to him are all things." So if we've achieved anything, we should be really thankful and just say, "Thank you, God, that you gave me the gifts, the abilities to do this." His grace makes it possible. It's not deserved. We don't earn it. You see, the beautiful rhythm of Jesus is more like a free-running horse. It just runs across the hilltops. Horses, yeah, it runs and it gallops, it hurdles, but it's always sure-footedly treading its way ahead. It will go over, under, around, through the obstacles before it. The free-running steed has strength to not only carry us as his mount, but our burdens too. And it can see the paths ahead that we can't see. It can see the ground to walk. A horse will only take steps onto ground where it knows the ground is solid and it can bear its weight. It can walk windy clifftop precipices and just keep going and not fear, and will happily do that. Our faith should be like this, that we just ride this horse and it just carries us no matter how dark it gets, how high it gets, how hot it gets. We just keep following that faith. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 to 18 says, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." In Acts 16, Paul and Silas are flogged and they're thrown into prison under false accusation of being rebels. In that place, their response is prayer and worship. They start to sing. And as they sing, the sort of door flings open, the chains fall off. And their rhythm of faith opened a way for them. When I look back on my life, divorced, slandered, robbed, made homeless, penniless, isolated, abandoned, shamed, intimidated, mistreated, I know I didn't often respond in prayer and singing, but I know in those times I did cry out for God to help me. You see, I was raised in a secure Christian home. I had a good education and I was a good person. So why would these things happen to me? In the story of Job, we're told of a righteous man who's prosperous and successful. And we can question, well, you know, if he was all that, God, why did you allow him to be tested? It's not fair. But Job, by his own confession, said, "What I feared most has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." You see, he had fear in his life. Could it be that God loved Job so much that he wanted him to live without fear? Maybe Job found a rhythm of faith more beautiful and complete. I'd often been fearful that my marriage would collapse, that I wouldn't be able to pay my bills, that I might lose my home, lose my job, and I might fall victim to someone's hatred. All these things happened, and I've lived through them, and I think my life is better for them, and I think I'm better for them, because I've been able to see how faithful God is in each of those things. You see, we can be like Paul. We can learn to sing in prison. We can learn to, because in that place, when we worship and pray, the doors fall open. My dad was a surgeon. He was a missionary in Congo, and he was a really inspiring evangelist. And I was fortunate enough to see many people come to know Jesus through him. Some time ago, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And it was just a real shock for all of us, because the worst thing about it was that my dad had always said, "If anything happens in my old age, I hope I don't ever get Alzheimer's." It was his biggest fear. We all prayed for him to be healed until we felt God ask us to stop. And when I asked God what he wanted to do, he very clearly said he wanted to take Dad home. When I went into his office the morning after his death, I found his Bible open on his desk. It was open at Hebrews 12. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." You see, despite all his failing functions, I just remember that he just loved hanging out with God, and he couldn't even read anymore, but he would have his Bible open. And he'd ask my mum where he wanted her to open it. You see, after that experience, I remember being in church and just thinking, I'm going to come and I'm going to worship. I've lost my dad, but I'm going to worship because of God's faithfulness to our family and our lives. And what was amazing is as I worshipped and there was just tears running down, I just saw my dad in heaven running and skipping over the golden paths. And he was just running free. His faith had been perfected. In Hosea 2, verse 14, we read, I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. I will give back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a dwell of hope. I know Kate spoke about this passage when she talked about thirst. The word of Achor meaning singing. In that place where we've lost all, and we discover that Jesus is all we need. He's all we need. He is the reason we sing in every circumstance. He's the reason we just cry out and praise him. Now, I'm not saying you're going to lose everything to find Jesus. I'm not saying that he is necessarily going to take you into what you fear most to find him. But I do believe that if it means taking us deeper into what we fear most, then he may just do it in order to free us from that fear, because he doesn't want us to live with fear. Now, some time ago, I had a dream. It was one summer. I was on holiday. I had a dream, and in this dream, Kate Newman was leading me along this path, and suddenly the path took a very steep incline, and there was these trees growing alongside the path, and she was inviting me to walk with her. And I absolutely, in this dream, God just showed me how scared I was. I was absolutely terrified, rooted to the spot, crying and pleading with her, please do not make me walk that way. I know what's there and I don't want to go. When we got back from that holiday, David and Alison invited us to join the leadership group. I knew before that point that that dream was that leadership were going to put an invitation on me to step into leadership. And you see, leadership hadn't been a good experience, not in the workplace, not in church. I had this thing that I wasn't worthy, that I wasn't good enough, that I would be rubbish at it. That I might mislead people, I might crash and burn, I'd do something stupid, I'd hurt people. So leadership wasn't for me, and I'd made that resolve in my head. And I've been on this journey, and the leadership group have been fabulous in helping me to try and overcome that fear and actually just embrace what God is doing. But it's not been easy. But it's good. So there's a fight going on in the spiritual realm for our souls. We live in the midst of this spiritual war, and sometimes in the battle plan for victory, the commander has to make a sacrifice. There might be ground, territory lost, or there might be people lost. But in it, it's for a bigger picture. And God is looking at a bigger picture that we can't see. It stands outside of time, and he's doing something, and we have a chance to cooperate with that. And there might have to be sacrifices. But he knows the best ways. He's ever present with us, and he's promised to finish what he began in us. If we're humble and teachable, he will bring us through. In this position of trust, we learn the rhythms of faith. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Faith in Jesus will guide us and lead us into the area of free running throughout whatever seasons our life brings. His love for us and his will for us is to know him deeper. And that will never change. That will never change. He's constantly inviting us to know him more. Rose Kennedy, the mother of President John F. Kennedy, used to say, life isn't a matter of milestones, but of moments. And I believe faith is living by that moment of our lives, involving the Holy Spirit and inviting his promptings in all aspects of our life. He's doing something right in front of us all of the time. And he's saying, do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to be a part of what I'm doing? So how do we cultivate these rhythms of faith? Joseph Campbell, a mythologist, writer, and lecturer of the 20th century, said, we must be willing to relinquish the life we've planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us And I believe that's Jesus' invitation to us. Will we relinquish what we've planned in order to have what he has for us? We need to choose to submit and surrender to the fact that God knows best, even when we don't understand it. So let's be open-handed, knowing that if God takes something from us, he either has something better or something different. Let's choose to live by his promises. He will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. We get into his word, we meditate on it, and we just grow in the things of him and the knowledge of him and his ways, because what we focus on will be the thing that we empower in our lives. And my story, my life journey, is teaching me actually when a challenge hit, when a problem comes, I have a choice. I can go to fear, or I can say, whoa, God, you are going to do something amazing here. I don't know what it is. It feels rubbish. I'm scared, but I know you've got a plan and I can trust you. He's promised to perfect our faith. So let's keep persevering in faith, knowing he is accomplishing something great. We keep our identity constantly in Jesus and not in what we can do. So let's seek intimacy with Jesus. Let's know him, let's know his ways, and let's learn to be thankful for everything that we have, knowing that we can trust him with all that we are, all that we do, everything we cherish and own. So really, faith isn't a place of fear. It comes out of knowing who Jesus is and what he's promised in our lives. And faith is the thing that makes us and enables us to free run. So when we fix our eyes on Jesus and we throw off all that hinders and entangles, it says throw off the sins that so hinder and entangle us. I actually think fear is one of those biggest things that gets wrapped around our legs and trips us over. And if it's not fear, it's pride, thinking we can do it and we don't need God and we don't involve him. So let's learn to throw these things off. Let's draw a line in the sand. Let's say, God, you know what? I'm done with fear. I'm done with the hold fear has in my life. And I'm done with what I can do, because I need to see what you can do when I surrender to you. So I'm looking at you all thinking, I know many of you will have false narratives. Like I've had false narratives and continue to face false narratives and have to fight those things. So I just want to invite you to stand and to pray with me Psalm 16, which is something we can just keep hold of in all our circumstances. In this psalm, King David writes, not because he's desperate, not because he's saying, even though he's been chased by Saul and he's been falsely accused, he's not saying, God, help me. He's saying, God, I recognize you are author and perfecter of my faith, and you have everything that concerns me, and I can rest in you. So would you join me? Would you stand up, please? And let's just say this prayer together. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen. So as I was preparing for this, I just felt God say, it is time, guys, it is time to identify what your fears are, to confess them and say, I'm done, God, I'm done with this fear, and to confess it and just get rid of it. And also, the other thing is, some of you are so self-sufficient, you're so gifted, you're so talented, you have so much resource, and actually God's saying, you know what, you have set limits on yourself because you're doing it your way, and I want to do it my way, and you in my hand would be something incredible. And we just need to confess that pride, that independent spirit that says, I don't need Jesus. So what I'm going to suggest is, if you are ready and you're in that point where you're just thinking, actually, I'm just done with this, I'm going to suggest you stay standing. And the rest of you, if you sit down and then look around, see who's still standing and start praying. And if there's lots of you, pray for each other. Okay. So if you could just move around and start praying for the people still standing, come alongside them in that place. Father, I want to thank you for the courage of these individuals stood. I want to thank you for their desire for more of you in their lives. That they're just done. They're done with fear. And they're done with what they can do without you. They want you. They need you in their lives. We speak over them that they can just be free running. Nothing hindering. Nothing holding them back. That whatever comes, their trust is in you. And I believe there's some of you here who may not even know Jesus, but you recognize that carousel of life, up and down, round and round you go, fear, then everything's okay, fear, then everything's okay. And you're just like thinking, I don't even know what this woman's talking about, but I think I need Jesus. And he's just inviting you. So if you want to respond to that, make sure you speak to either David or myself or somebody who can pray with you.